Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. About our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ. About not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about the gospel of the kingdom. Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. Folks, we've been waiting for this moment for decades. There is a clear shift in the United States of America. And I remember a friend of mine when I was in politics gave a spiritual truth. Yes, there was a spiritual truth given in politics. He gave a spiritual truth. And he said, you want peace for the United States? You want a prosperous economy? You want families to be whole and less crime? Do you want energy independence? Do you want to see our kids and grandkids have peace and prosperity and freedom like we have? And abortion. And last week, the prayers of the saints were answered with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But there's a spiritual truth here that a lot of people, I think, have missed, and I want to talk about that today. This doesn't end abortion, although it did end it in some states that had these trigger laws or that had already implemented a ban on abortion. This, essentially, what we are seeing is a rebirth of federalism, and I'm going to get to that here in a second. The United States Supreme Court acknowledged that this was a state issue, not a federal issue. But now it's up to the states to choose the Lord in righteousness or a much darker path. And similar to the Israel-Judah moment, when part of the country, actually the majority of the country in Israel, chose to walk away from the Lord, and two tribes chose to stay faithful to the Lord, we are at that moment now in America. Every state is going to have to choose the Lord in righteousness or not. And God's judgment, which is a science, evil comes in, God's judgment follows in right behind it. How we choose now in this time is going to be absolutely critical. And as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. We have an opportunity right now to say to Governor Inslee, enough is enough. And you can have your own opinion and you can try to ignore the clear direction of the country on the issue of life, which is preserving life. And by the way, have you ever noticed they get really violent when you try to stop the murder of the innocents? That's interesting. You get really violent. The ones who try to accuse everybody that is a Christian and everybody that's a patriot of being violent, they're the ones that actually are fomenting violence, like Jane's Revenge, Antifa, that beat up a Seattle street preacher here in the last few days, tore his Bibles up. In fact, I saw one report that one of the Bibles was thrown into a outhouse. This is the people of tolerance. They're not tolerant. They're communists influenced by hate and evil. That is what has taken over the left in the United States of America. And people are going to have to make a choice. The Lord in righteousness, peace, joy, love, or not, something far darker. And if Governor Inslee is not going to listen to reason. And we should pray for him right now, absolutely, that his heart would be turned. But if not, then we need to create a new state in Eastern Washington. We need to create a new state founded on liberty in Eastern Washington that will protect the right to life. Because the right to life is God-given. It is unalienable, unalienable. In other words, no one can ever take it away. It can never have something put on it that can take it away. It's from God. No man can take it away. And we need a state that would protect life. It's interesting, they're being very wide open about it now, that this is the murder of children. And they try to justify it with children are unwanted, or what, children are always a blessing. That is a truth of God. That is a truth in the scripture. And so we have a moment right now. And there's even more than this. We talked about the 100 days right now that started back at Uvalde. And on the 30th day, Roe versus Wade was overturned. On the 33rd day, a former high school football coach, and I hope he is again because I've met him, Coach Kennedy, was vindicated that you can pray anywhere at any time. And the left is absolutely furious about this. And the justices were very clear on this, that he was in his own personal capacity praying. He could pray anywhere, anytime. Nothing can stop him. Now, Article 26 of the Washington State Constitution, which is the only irrevocable portion of the state constitution, says that no person can be molested in their person or property on account of their mode of worship. So if you are worshiping, you are praying, you can worship or pray. And there cannot be a government restriction against that unless there is a compelling interest, narrowly tailored. So there can't be blanket statements on blanket groups of individuals for blanket times, all time, for people that are acting in their personal capacity. In other words, this isn't a stadium event or something like that, or an amplified type of speech that is going over the decibel levels of the local ordinances. This is critical. Huge win. And then right before that, two other wins that said essentially there can be no proper cause standard regarding concealed carry permits, that everybody has a right of self-defense and a right to carry concealed. And the Supreme Court said very clearly on this issue, Justice Thomas, that this, where an individual is concerned, this should be a right protected as an individual right. Again, I mean, they're being very clear about this because, you know, Washington State wants to come against that. And the fact of the matter is these red flag laws are coming in, the rhinos that voted for them. By the way, they may as well be Democrats. If you're going to vote for a red flag law, you may as well be a Democrat, because this is a communist technique to smear and have an excuse to disarm those who would oppose them. This has been used in many, many countries. And so to see it again, and rhinos voting for this, Republicans in name only, tells you that we need to be really clear on this. Just because somebody seems like they're a nice person, that's not the question. How are they going to govern? Are they going to govern according to the Constitution? Are they going to protect our God-given, unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same? So this was a huge win. Then, on top of that, you had another big win out of Maine, which effectively says that money regarding Christian schooling can follow the child. And Arizona right now is looking at passing legislation saying that every child will have $7,000 and the parents can spend it on whatever schooling they deem fit. This will revolutionize education in America and wrest it from the control of the Marxists. Here in Washington State, there should be an initiative immediately to allow the same thing, that the money will follow the child. In other words, the property tax money that is going to fund government schools right now, whatever that portion is for you, you can take that portion and you can put it to whatever school you want to, because it, after all, is your money to begin with. So huge wins across the board, and this is just getting started. I mean, we're only 34 days into the 100 days, and what's going to happen here? And so I want everybody to understand that the timing, the spiritual timing that's going on right now, that we are in a time we have to stand and say, enough, I choose the Lord and righteousness. We choose to follow him. And it, again, if Governor Inslee is going to go a different path and those folks in Seattle want to go down a communist path, fantastic. Go down a communist path. Right? And hopefully they get shaken out of it by the consequences of their actions of choosing socialism and communism. That it always makes people poor. It destroys economies. It destroys lives. And they will come to that reality and then come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, we can stand up and say, no, we're going to start a new state. We're going to create a new state according to Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. We will come into the Union just like Puerto Rico. At the same time, balance of power will not be disrupted. Conservative state, liberal state will come into the Union at the same time. And we will have better representation here for the values, traditions, culture, and heritage of this area. And that culture and heritage is a heritage of freedom. That's why it's so different. Regardless of ethnicity, we rally around the ideas of freedom. And that brings me now to the main point spiritually. We have an opportunity in the next few months to see freedom and liberty enshrined for the next 50 years. What we do in this hour will not only determine our character, but it will determine the fate of generations yet unborn. Choose life, choose Jesus, and liberty will follow. And that brings me now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, coming to us from the Wall Street Journal, which I do not quote very often. U.S. held secret meeting with Israeli Arab military chiefs to counter Iran air threat. Well, that's not really what it was going on. Not only did Israel and Saudi Arabia meet, but Qatar, Jordan, Egypt, the UAE, and Bahrain also joined in. This very likely is the precursor to an Israeli strike on Iran and to take out any capability they have of enriching uranium further than they are developing nuclear weapons. As we reported on the show last time, there was an Iranian missile sitting on the launch pad waiting to be fueled, and they may well still be there. I don't know. We didn't get any further follow-up regarding that. But the point is that this looks like precursors to war in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. So we're going to keep our eyes on that. Also, coming to us from open source intelligence, I want you to pay attention to a lot of this stuff, okay? The Russians have been devastated. And I don't understand. Again, I hear people, just be objective on this. Get your agenda. You've got to separate your agenda from the objective facts on the ground. And Travis is going to pull this up here in a second from Euromaidan Press, because they've been accurate. The sources they're using have been accurate. Yes, it's pro-Ukrainian, but it has been accurate as far as battle damage assessments regarding the Russians. fact, photographic evidence keeps catching up to what they've already reported. Now, the Russians striking a shopping mall, yes, there's propaganda value there and some other things that went on. But the key that I see here, and by the way, we almost went to Kremenchuk, Travis. We almost went there, by the way. Seriously. So that's kind of close to home. We're going to go to day 124. So this is yesterday reporting from Euromaidan Press. All right. So there is the battle damage assessment that they have. I'm trying to get this pulled up here right now. It might be the day before that, actually. That you got to be objective. Again, photographic evidence keeps backing this up. Eyewitness evidence on the ground. All right, there we go. So you have almost half of all the Russian armor, tanks, of their entire military totally destroyed. You've got over 35,000 troops killed. You've got over a quarter, almost, and it's heading toward a third of all their armored personnel vehicles completely destroyed in this. 20% of their helicopters. Almost 20% of their Black Sea fleet. 16% of their aircraft, which they're keeping back right now. They just spent, the Russians the other day spent $200 million sending ballistic missiles to strike Kyiv and Kharkiv. Now, those are the two largest cities in Ukraine. Kharkiv is in the east. That's where my lovely bride is from. And Kyiv is in the center of Ukraine as the capital. So, folks, I this is just, again, objective reporting. So what the Russians have done now is they've changed their strategy and their tactics, and they've gone to a Cold War and World War II model where they pound with artillery and then they advance with armor and troops. This was completely abandoned by the United States because it led to devastating losses. And you can do this and you will advance at a massive cost, which is what's happening right now. The Ukrainian forces pulled back across the Donetsk River and have ceded ground, but the Russians lost so much going in there. And what do they occupy? A rubble pile. Now, you got to understand the history of Ukraine. Ukraine was the heart, and some people get offended at this, but again, you got to be objective, the heart of manufacturing for the Russian Empire. And a lot of that manufacturing was in this region of Donbass. So now what they've done is effectively reduced to rubble that area. Ukraine still holds the areas that have natural gas underneath them. They have a huge natural gas reserve there, one of the largest in the world. You're talking in the top 50% of the world. They could develop it, which is really what a lot of what Russia is worried about. If Ukraine develops natural gas, Poland develops natural gas, Europe doesn't have to buy it from Russia. Russia has no control. It's part of this whole thing. In addition to the idea that Putin has that he is somehow the Eastern Roman Emperor incarnate, protecting the Eastern Roman Empire. And they believe this on the streets. And you can talk to people that know about this. And if they're honest with you, they'll tell you this. He believes he's defending the Eastern Roman Empire and the vestiges of it. So right now, I want you to hear this from open source intelligence, because I'm going to go back there. Kremlin spokesman Peskov says that Ukrainians can end everything today. They just need to order Ukrainian troops to lay down their weapons and fulfill Russians' conditions, and it'll all be over. Well, the Ukrainians obviously are never going to do that. Guerrilla warfare is breaking out in earnest behind Russian lines. So they're having a huge problem right now. There's been a successful guerrilla warfare already waged in western Belarus to cut the north-south train and supply chain lines. But this is the key, open source intelligence. This is key. And I want you to hear this. I want you to understand it, because regardless of what we think about this, this is where this is heading based on the powers that be. British Army Chief General Sir Patrick Sanders says the UK must be ready for war with Russia, calling this a, quote, 1937 moment. Germany is in talks with Canada to potentially open a new natural gas terminal. So now you see how the shift is happening away from Russia and away from China. Now, NATO is meeting in Madrid for the next 3 days to discuss the war in Ukraine, but also the ascension of Sweden and Finland into NATO. Turkey has held these applications up, and I'm sure there's going to be discussions there. Here's another interesting thing. Russia defaulted on $100 million in foreign debt payments, according to open source intelligence, today. Also, the Russian hacking group Killnet has launched large-scale cyber attacks against Lithuania due to the blockade of some Russian supplies. I want to talk about this for a brief second. So Kaliningrad, the Russians have to go through Lithuania to get to Kaliningrad, and Lithuanians have shut down partially, not fully partially, we're going to have to be objective again, Russian rail going through there. Well, the Russians will not stand for that, and so you may see the next spark here in Lithuania. Also, we're going to talk about a couple things, and we're going to shift now to China. Severe flooding in southern China has happened, and there's also some crop failures that are happening in China as well. And the Chinese military is building a base on the small Koko Island near Myanmar. So the Chinese are expanding their military presence out into areas, by the way, following a very close pattern of Japan right before World War II, where they established bases, Solomon Islands, now Myanmar. And remember, I talked about the Straits of Malacca, where all of China's oil comes through, except for the stuff that comes from Russia. Their huge supply lines come through there. So now they're putting these bases on outer-lying areas, and it's following a similar pattern to Japan prior to World War II. Now, I want to talk about Iran now. We're going to go back to Iran. I'm going to stay there in China. Several reports indicate that North Korea will be preparing to move tactical nuclear weapons to frontline artillery units after the Central Military Commission met this week. This is exactly in line with what we talked about with Joel Skousen on the show here a couple of months ago, that North Korea would be the trigger. So China invades Taiwan, and the United States intervenes in some capacity. North Korea immediately invades South Korea to tie up U.S. forces. And by the way, they are going to use tactical nuclear weapons if they do that. All right. Last but not least, the EU Parliament approved Ukraine and Moldova as candidates for EU membership. And then I want to talk about a little bit on the spy side, on the intelligence side, the intriguing side. So there have been some really weird deaths that have been going on. So you had a Russian general who was found dead. You had a Russian colonel, former Russian colonel, who held the nuclear football for Putin, who was found shot. You have two Iranian scientists. And one of those was not a scientist. One of those was involved deeply in the government, probably in the intelligence apparatus, found dead. And now Iran has dismissed the Revolutionary Guard's intelligence chief for the New York Times. So what is happening is suspected spies and traitors are being rooted out in these different countries, which means they are about to do something. You don't root these folks out unless you're about to do something absolutely critical. So we're seeing these things happen both in Russia and in China. And Travis, if you could turn that back up, thank you. In Russia and in China, that is key to understand that something is really close to happening. All right, now we're going to move to the United States. This is, again, hard for some folks to understand. But here in the United States, clearly inflation is happening. If you go to shadow stats, you're going to look at somewhere close to 20% actual inflation. The Federal Reserve has dramatically increased interest rates, but now is talking about more quantitative easing because they are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Massive economic contraction. We're trying to keep the markets going. So again, prepare. And I just believe that the next 100 days, again, is going to be critical to what happens for the next 20 to 50 years. I also want to bring up what's happening here in America. Now, you had the Marxists protest down at the courthouse here in Spokane, Washington, last Friday. And these are the Industrial Areas Foundation, Saul Alinsky-trained actual Marxists were down there. And the first rule of Marxism is always never to talk about Marxism, right? It's never, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution, right, for them. And Magazine has a great article on that I'm going to post up. But I just want to just highlight this, okay? Because a lot of people miss this stuff and they say, oh, that's not really true. But it is. And Magazine has a great article. There's a video of Congresswoman AOC in the street in front of the Supreme Court. She's leading a crowd, chanting, declaring the Supreme Court is illegitimate and urging people to take to the streets. Well, standing right next to her, oh, come on now. Wait for it. Wait for it. Is Sunsara Taylor, a leader of Rise Up for Abortion Rights, which is a creation whole cloth of Resist Fascism, which was formed in 2016 by the leaders of the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. So you have a direct link between AOC on camera and the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. We are seeing them attempt a communist revolution here in America, and that is not a joke. As Sam Faddis was talking about, they've been working on this for a long time. The problem is there are great Americans out there who are willing to say, stand up and say, enough is enough. We're not going to go down this road. And they're willing to defend this great republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And this trend now is against Christians. They've come out in the open. It's against Christians. When you have a street preacher beat up in Seattle, Bibles torn in pieces, Bible thrown into an outhouse. When you have this stuff happening, they're coming against Christians. They've been targeting. There's over 23 reported cases of targeting of Christian and crisis pregnancy centers. Churches were threatened. In fact, DHS sent out a notice warning churches about potential threats. This is real. This is what they want to do. Meanwhile, we've got a lot of people languishing as J6 prisoners, and I'm going to get to that here in a second. But Texas GOP, I want you to hear this, coming to us from Natural News. Now, I want you to follow up on this and just watch it. Representatives to the Texas Republican Convention this week went full on into a push for secession from the United States of America because Texas came in under a separate compact, separate treaty, actually. So you have entire states saying, enough, we don't want anything, we don't want revolutionary communism in America, we want to fight against it. And because there is an uptick in this right now, and they're threatening violence over the summer, the actual domestic terrorists in America, not Christians and patriots, actual domestic terrorists, many of them funded by, many of them trained by actual communists and foreign state actors in America. This tells us the timeline is to help foment chaos in America right before World War III. That's what's happening. That's the big picture. So what can we do? We come together as families. We come together as churches here locally. And we defend the republic. And those people who are saying things like, I won't work with so-and-so, I won't work with so-and-so. Okay, enough of that stuff. Enough. The time is to come together right now. I want to talk about the last two things very quickly. Louis Gohmert I really admire Louis Gohmert. It's come out, this comes to us from Populist Press, that the J6 surveillance unit was illegal. Now, we're going to talk about this with our guest here in a second, but I also want to talk about that it's not just that is coming out with the documentaries and everything that our guest has been a part of. It's also people are now being exonerated. Proud Boys proven innocent, newly released video hidden from the public. The DOJ tried to hide the evidence, blows up DOJ and Liz Cheney's bogus, seditious conspiracy charges. They hid the video from the public. This is coming to us from the Gateway Pundit. We're going to also talk about this here in a second. So if they're coming after real Americans, real patriots, real God-fearing, freedom-loving folks, and it's revolutionary communists that are sitting with the left right now, openly in public, threatening and conducting actual violence. You don't see Christians beating up Antifa folks in Seattle. It was Antifa beating up a Christian preacher. You don't see Christians firebombing pregnancy clinics. So hear this and understand it. This is what's happening in America right now. They are gearing up by labeling people who will actually defend the Republic actual Americans, smearing them at the same time they're fomenting chaos with these other groups. Now, the founding fathers were in such a time as well. And we all need to make a choice. Is this republic worth defending? I say yes. And as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. Thank you to everybody that joined us down at the park and everywhere in between. It's been awesome. Just so many people standing up right now saying, what can I do? First thing you can do is make sure you're right with God. Second thing you can do is pray, ask him for guidance. Third thing you can do is read the word, get confirmation of what his promises are for you. Fourth thing, get out there and be the church, be the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are on Gab, MeWe, Getter, at Matt Shea, except for True Social, it's at Matt Shea 1. On True Social, and you can also follow me if you absolutely have to on Facebook at Patriot Radio US. We are on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. Make sure you follow these, share them with your friends and family. Get the message out there. A lot of this information people just don't know about. They don't hear. They don't know where to get it. Educate your friends and family so together we can see this republic continue for the next generation. All right, my guest today is David Sumrall. He's a Christian carpenter. I love that. Together, Christian and Carpenter, small business owner, activist, citizen journalist, documentary filmmaker of Writing History, founder of StopHate.com, and co-founder of the American Celebration Tour and creator and host of Discussion Island. He has been all over getting the truth out about what actually happened on January 6th and January 5th as well. David, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
What if the I am doing really good. I can't believe I'm back already. It seems like yesterday.
I know. It's just incredible. So, I won't. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm excited to tell you a couple things today, so we'll jump right in. Excited.
Okay, well, what I want to do, I've got a whole bunch of feedback in my headphones right now. Travis is trying to clear that up, but I just want to just update everybody. And by the way, just so you know, we screened the Truth About January 6th documentary here at the church. It was very, very well received. So if you can, give the folks an update. Just take it and run with it.
Well, I tell you what, that is the best film that's out to date about January 6th. It's a really good recap. It shows the manipulation of the system and why January 6th actually happened, and it tells more of the truth about it, I'd say, than most of the other films out there. Writing History that we did last year, you know, that will stand the test of time. It's just video footage. You can see it for free at stop8.com. But the truth about January 6th, that is at j6truth.org. Really good film. Highlights the Jake Lang story. It tells about the real people that were trying to save people that are now in prison for going to a peaceful protest, being attacked by the police, trying to defend people's very lives, and now suffering as the original election auditors. We've seen this, and we're seeing more and more. The sergeant-at-arms situation is horrible. We're trying to figure out what's going on with that. But, man, the exciting thing that I have to say is we've got another film that's just almost finished. We're in the last couple of days of editing. We're trying to wrap it up. It's called Bloody Hill. And it's the seven deadly sins of January 6th. We're breaking down everything about what this committee and the FBI and backing it all up. We're putting, you know, as the video will be throughout everything that we've accumulated, you know, for the last year and a half. And it will really lay out. It's a conversational, just very candid approach to, you know, what the people are going through and why and how it all comes together. And we really need people now more than ever. I think we've got, you know, the committee on its heels in so many ways. They had their little show on TV and we destroyed it, showed where they were, you know, selectively editing their video and getting timestamps wrong, intentionally trying to make their fairy tale into a reality. And, you know, we just fight every day to try to overcome the lies in the narrative. And, you know, we can use all the help we can get getting these movies out. The truth about January 6th is one of those that people need to share. And, you know, you don't know who's seen it. So just share it to everybody on your list. It's the easiest way to do it. Don't even have a conversation. Just share away on these things when they come out, because there's a lot of information people still don't know. And you know, the small percentage that does is screaming their head off trying to get people to listen. And right now, more than ever, we've got them on their heels. We just need to keep pushing. We're making, you know, good headway, but people are still literally suffering in jail, hadn't seen their families in a year and a half at all. Yeah. No visitation, you know, and the torture is real, folks, and we need the momentum. We need the build. We need the tsunami of information, and Bloody Hill will be one of those, I hope, well-received films that, you know, gets the kind of media that it needs, the kind of public support, because, you know, Matt, at this time, it's all about hearts and minds. We've got to get the people active and equal, you know, participants. We need equal time. We need to get our story out, and that's the only way it's going to happen. The media won't do it. The government won't do it. It's up to us.
Absolutely. And I want to, we're going to cue in a teaser for this here in a second. Not right yet, but we're going to cue in a teaser for this here in a second. But I want to get to Louis Gohmert. We've been talking about this. I mean, you know, the truth about January 6th, I mean, just it really conveyed the humanity of what actually happened, that people were trying to save lives. And I want to make a very clear distinction between Capitol Hill police and their attempt to create some sort of a secret police force across the country, which is just disgusting, with our local police and sheriffs, who are generally great folks and God-fearing, God-loving patriots, right? So you have this clear exposing right now by Louis Gohmert, who I've followed for a long time. Quote, "We can't have secret units doing secret surveillance of people that have committed no crime, no probable cause of crime, just getting blanket surveillance." And what he's talking about is the electronic surveillance unit was embedded among January 6, 2021 protesters for the purposes of conducting video surveillance. One expert says, hey, that probably was against the law. The other one says, well, if it wasn't against the law, what were they trying to do by doing the video surveillance in Travin? And these are great questions that need to be answered, because if you're going to have electronic surveillance of people, there has to be warrants, as Representative Gohmert said. I completely agree, because that's what the Constitution requires. Talk a little bit about that, and what is your reaction to some of these things finally coming out and being exposed?
Well, it's a matter of time, as it always is. The truth will come to light. And, you know, he's exactly right. We've seen with the 2,000 mules, I think that really enlightened everyone to the fact that this geo-tracking was happening well before the January 6th event, the other events in D.C., all the Stop the Steal state rallies that were going on around the country. They were building their list, checking it twice, going to see who shows up or not. And that's where it began. There was no way they could arrest people a day or two later in obscure parts of Arkansas and other parts of the country. They needed more time to get that kind of intel, those information date, even with facial recognition. I mean, how fast, if they're that good, why haven't they caught the pipe bomber? There's so many things about their story that are essential, but you have to ask yourself why. And it's truly to divide the very fabric of our country and make brother fight brother. And we can't take the bait. We want people mad, but we don't want them to get violent with each other. There's no point in that. We don't fix it. You have to get mad at the government, not violently so, but you have to listen. The Tea Party was about tea tax. Look at our gasoline right now.
Right.
People have to the control, and they're using the very Patriot Act against us. So you have to say, how would that work? Well, seems like a long game by our own government. You know, they say 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, that you know, J6 was just as bad. I really think it was worse because it's an inside job. Our own government, not a foreign government, our own government did this to our people, lied about it. You can't blame nature and drugs for murders that you and your people, now the police, were duped as much as we were, and you know that. I mean, understaffed, underprepared, that was intentional to create chaos and mayhem, and it worked. And it put everyone in harm's way. We're so thankful that so many more of the police did not react wrongly or badly or poorly. A lot of them did the best they could. We were all scared. But that was part of the setup. And a lot of the officers, I believe, saw that on that day and had those conversations with people, and we need some of them to come out too and say, hey, y'all are absolutely wrong to do this to these poor people. We've got a 69-year-old grandma on chemo that's going 60 days to jail because she got pushed in the building, asked for help to get out, got hurt while she was in the mayhem, and now she's being treated like a criminal. 60 days in jail at 69 is not a fair thing for a woman that had no criminal, and she's not going to overthrow the government. It's disgusting what they're doing to these people, and we need the people mad enough to say something and do something and be the arms and legs and hands and feet that put this message out and say, we're finished. We're not going to do this. And let me just say, I have a hard time knowing that these people, there's two options. They're either too dumb to understand that they're being played as well, or they are in on it. How can you vote for somebody for roads or bridges or taxes or anything if they are involved with the cover-up and conspiracy of at least four deaths that day that they blamed on the very protesters that went there at the right place to do the right time? It's sickening to me, and I know that when the American people finally get this, finally just grasp it, that they will take this fast and make sure that everyone knows what's happening, because it's criminal.
It is. And let's talk about this very quickly. The FBI must coordinate with local law enforcement. They must. By law and by the Constitution, they must coordinate with local law enforcement. So you've got a couple of questions here, right? You've got a question about whether or not they were tracking, geo-tracking innocent Americans prior to it without a warrant. You now have a second question, whether they were using video surveillance both by local law enforcement and federal organizations and agencies to track and tape and maybe even entrap people that attended. And you have, on top of that, the issue that Ted Cruz brought out by just simply asking a question: were federal agents embedded undercover in January 6th? And they couldn't even answer it. They said, we can't answer that, which means yes. So sure. The whole thing smacks of not just a cover-up. It smacks of, did they instigate something? And that's the question that must be answered right now.
when you look at Stephen D'Antuono, the guy that was over the Michigan FBI field office where the Whitmer incident happened, where the FBI literally set up a whole thing where there was way more FBI agents than the people that they tried to entrap in the whole fiasco, Stephen D'Antuono went to Washington, D.C. for January 6th. He was moved there. He did such a good job with Michigan. They said, let's do it again on a bigger scale in Washington, D.C. Swear to you, that is the truth. And then you look at the Sergeant-at-Arms. That's where you're going to see, I mean, this poor guy just passed away under very suspicious circumstances. We'll find out what happened to the Sergeant-at-Arms. But, you know, that ties into who says who about what, who gets the troops, who gives the police, who says where to protect and how from who. And it even says who's the bad guy. And for these guys to step down, retire right after January 6th, even the chief of police, we see all this cover-up, and that's what you were talking about, allows the Capitol Police to put another branch somewhere like Florida. They need to stay in the Capitol. That's where they belong. They don't need other branches of their corruptness. It's just like these three-letter agencies. They don't have the right. State constitutions don't allow you to go without going through your magistrate. You're supposed to be arrested by your own people, taken to your own people, and then handed over to those people because they're going to take you to a foreign land that's not on American soil. Washington, D.C., gulag, you don't have much chance there. We've seen this. Once they have you, it's really hard to get you back, and it's not really happening for us very much yet.
Well, and this brings up the next thing. Now we're seeing very clearly people being exonerated. Proud Boys, according to Gateway Pundit, this video comes out, which unquestionably proves that the Proud Boys never planned on going inside the Capitol on January 6th, let alone commit seditious conspiracy. Sure. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, this is exonerating these guys.
Absolutely is. Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keeper, same thing. They tried to say early on that there was this big conspiracy. And then the FBI, if you remember, a few months later said, okay, guys, we really can't find a plan. The trouble is there was a huge plan. It just wasn't by any of the people on the right. It was the left.
Right.
So now they're stuck that they know there's a plan. They have to show there's a plan. And how can we tie these guys in? They arrested everyone, stuck 6 or 8 charges on them, and then try to retrofit these cases. The Proud Boys will be exonerated. I have other video of 2 of the leaders of the Proud Boys that are high profile earlier in the day saying, we don't have plans until this evening. We're going down to watch like everyone else. And another one, a lady said, hey, are we going in the Capitol? He said, we're not. We don't have any plans. You can if you want to, but we're not going in. So, I mean, over and over, we're seeing the truth about the Proud Boys. They were there to protect the people like they always do from BLM and Antifa attacks in the evening. That's when they have their fun, and they had no intention of going there. So here it is. If you can break one of those groups like the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers and set, you know, there's no conspiracy between the two. The government's whole plan, all this whole takeover of the government, but they were trying to eat us and all this crap. You know, got AOC scared to death, you know, a mile away in another building. But all this adds up to the theater of this January 6th committee, the selective editing of their tapes. They're trying to build their fairy tale. People are finally seeing through it. We need this push. And like I said, man, until people get mad, you don't get involved with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers until your kid gets hit by a drunk. Well, I'm telling you, this same committee, these same people are coming after every single person listening. As soon as you disagree with them and say no and try to stand up, they're going to do the same thing. We have to get the numbers up to get ahead of this, man, and show they're going to use the geo-tracking. They're going to use your social media. They're going to use your credit. They're going to deplatform and censor you and take your bank accounts. It's happening to people. Now, we have one family that's veterans, and they want to take his veteran benefits. He's still in the gulag, not convicted, just charged. They want to take his veteran benefits and then charge him back to January 5th of 21 and say, you have to pay back while you've been in prison. We've been paying you your veteran benefits. But how disgusting that you're going to take a veteran's benefits that went there peacefully. He didn't do anything violent. He's not that guy anyway. And here they are just trying to cripple families and destroy them financially and destroy their means and their reputation in the community. And I've had enough. I hope more people get involved with this, man. I mean, this is the thing of our lifetime. If we don't fix this, we've had our emotional moment of our own civil war. We don't need more of that. We've already had it. People just don't know it happened.
Amen. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote in the Gulag Archipelago. He wrote, I think it was pages 15, 16, something like that. It's down at the beginning. He wrote that how they burned in the camps later. In the Gulag, they burned in the camps later. At what point should we have done something? And he came to the conclusion it was when they came to take their neighbor's stuff and molest and harass and jail their neighbors, that that's when they should stand up. Folks, everyone listening to Patriot Radio today, online, podcast, whatever, live radio, everyone listening to Patriot Radio today, that is the hour right now. Now is the time to stand up. This is the hour. And David, I just want to take a moment, and Bloody Hill is hopefully coming out very, very soon. I want to quickly play the teaser for it and then get your reactions and your final comments.
Okay, thanks.
These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst his brethren.
The seven deadly sins of January 6th. David, some final comments and some encouragement for folks out there right now. What can they do?
Well, I tell you what, like you said in the beginning, man, just get your relationship right with Jesus Christ first. Jump into the Word. Get into the prayer. I mean, we have to support these people that way, first and foremost, and have our relationship, get our walk right. I mean, get to work on that. But there is hope, and that's what these people live on that are stuck inside their families and the prisoners as well, or hostages at this point, if you would. And they need letters. They need prayers and support. There are ways to do that on stophate.com/J6, calls to action. There's the fundraisers. They need that for their lawyers, for their families, for their bills. You got the breadwinner in jail. But the main thing, and I want people to know, this is our chance. We've been wanting this revival. We've been wanting this fresh start and this restoration. So it's time to, you know, get back to the basics, get back together, and get back to God, you know, and that's the real moral of this. I think we're seeing the evil on display. We have to make that choice to stand against it as one nation. And, you know, in the movie, there's one thing, and it says, you know, united we stand, but divided we die. And I don't want that for our country. I don't want that for our history, for our children and our future. So we have to do something as a people that can move against that in a nonviolent way, but in a powerful way that says enough is enough. And I believe we're getting to the point. But, man, I can't thank you enough once again for having me on here. God bless you for everything you're doing and spreading the message. And stophate.com, we'll put up Bloody Hill as soon as it's out. We're trying to get it by the 4th of July. It's a real push. I don't know if we'll make it. We're trying our best. And I look forward to talking to you again when it's out.
David Summerall, I thank you for everything that you're doing to expose the darkness and to get the truth out there right now. Really appreciate you. Keep up the fight. We are going to screen Bloody Hill when it comes out here at the church. And everybody out there right now in Patriot Radio Land, you should be screening it at your church, along with the truth about January 6th and all of the other videos that David has put out and contributed to. This is how we win. We come together right now. We stand together. There's nothing that can stand against us as sons and daughters of the living God and as the kingdom of Jesus Christ. David, thank you again. We love you, bless you, and I look forward to meeting you in person here someday soon.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Matt. Love y'all, too. See you next time, bro.
All right. David Summerall, StopHate.com, StopHate.com. Bloody Hill, coming out very soon, hopefully before January 4th, and I just pray that their time is redeemed in getting this thing edited and getting it out. Take a look at these videos. It's exposing the truth right now. We're seeing more evidence come out every single day, and I'm going to put this up here very shortly on social media. Ted Cruz asked the question, did anybody in the FBI undercover help instigate January 6th? Great question. Question two, Representative Louie Gohmert from Texas. God bless Texas, by the way. Representative Louie Gohmert from Texas. Did anyone conduct electronic surveillance of innocent Americans without a warrant, without probable cause, that had committed no crimes? Great question. Third question. Why did the DOJ withhold videos and exculpatory evidence until now? Why? And the fourth question for all of us as Christians, what is our role right now? What does God want us to do? As they are attempting to foment chaos through these communist organizations and even potentially arms of the federal government, why are they doing it right now? What is our place in all of this? And are we ready to stand for truth, come together, do another 5,000, 10,000 person rally in downtown Spokane and show the true numbers of patriots and those that love America, and do so unafraid of any labels of the media and the propaganda machines of the left? Are we ready right now? Well, as for the folks here at On Fire Ministries, the answer is yes. Are you ready? This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.